Thank you, Miss Faith. That was me. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My meditation this morning is based on the gospel lesson, specifically in John chapter 14, verse 16. And Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." You know, in today's culture, it's virtually impossible to survive without Wi-Fi, right? Can you imagine not having any Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi connects us to the world around us, to each other through emails, texting, and messaging. Can you imagine if you couldn't text? Oh my gosh, the world would come to an end. Without Wi-Fi, we have no access to the worldwide system of information. Through such sites as Google, Facebook, or Wikipedia, and maybe that'd be a good thing. Heaven forbid, Twitter. When we lose the Wi-Fi connection, don't we? We kind of seem lost in our culture today, out of place and anxious. Can you imagine going a day without your cell phone or texting? Trying to do an assignment at school or a WebEx with coworkers? We just can't live in a world of high tech without that Wi-Fi connection. I don't know, I did. Do you remember the days? How many remember the days when there were no cell phones or internet? How did we do it? You know, how did we ever get by? You've got to be kidding me. Well, in our gospel reading this morning, the disciples were about to lose their Wi-Fi connection. Jesus is speaking with them on the night that he was going to be betrayed. Jesus knew his time on earth was coming to an end and that he was going back to the Father. He will have completed everything the Father commanded him to do. He knew he was going to die a horrible death on the cross and rise again for our salvation. And he says to his disciples in the first verse of chapter 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Because plainly, the hearts of the disciples were tossed like the waves of the sea by the things Jesus was saying to him. It's like, what's going on here? After we've been with you for 3 years, and you're going to leave us? And that very night, their lives will be turned upside down. Their lives will be changed forever. Their Wi-Fi will become disconnected. They'll feel shattered beyond repair as they see their Lord and Master arrested, taken off. And tried and put to death. They'll find themselves cowering in fear, running and hiding, with one of them denying that he even knew Jesus, and another betraying the Lord. How could this happen? Do you ever feel that way? Many times we lose our emotional and spiritual Wi-Fi connection with God. Our lives could be going well, all's good, then suddenly a catastrophe happens. Life takes a sharp left turn and things begin to fall apart almost overnight. It could be the death of a loved one, loss of a job, divorce, anxiety, unexpected sickness, rejection, even depression. And we become overcome with doubt, fear, and worry. And then the question is, how do we get reconnected with God in order to deal with these sudden, sharp left turns in a life that can cause insurmountable pain and suffering, just like the disciples? What do we do? But then notice what Jesus says. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Some translations have it as counselor. "Forever, the Spirit of truth. You will know him, for he lives with you," and get this, "he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." The Greek word for this helper or counselor is parakletos, which means, and catch this, "one called to stand beside." So you always have someone standing beside you to strengthen you and defend you. That's pretty cool. Jesus here is talking about the Holy Spirit. That's who this helper is. This is the third person of the Trinity. Now notice I said person. The Holy Spirit is not some force, or some would believe an impersonal power. No, 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 no. He is God with the same essence as the Father and the Son. You know what's beautiful about this gospel as I read it and reread it and read it? You've got the whole triune God at work here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what does this helper do? What's his job? Listen to what Martin Luther says in his definition of the third article to the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's the first job of this helper, the Holy Spirit, to bring us to faith in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is our Wi-Fi connection to Jesus and the Father. You get that? That's kind of neat. We don't do this. We're not left as orphans or on our own. Now Jesus goes on to say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Jesus, to create faith in us, lead us, strengthen us, and give us the truth. It's the Holy Spirit that gifts us faith to believe. We can't even believe on our own. He points us to Jesus. He sanctifies us. Now, what does that mean? Sanctifies means to make us holy. You know, we can't do that ourselves. I'm not holy in and of myself, and neither are you. But the Holy Spirit giving us the truth, it's showing us Jesus, makes us holy. You know, sometimes I think we as Lutherans, we don't like to talk about sanctification too much because, you know, fear of becoming too emotional or pious. But yet the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Jesus goes on to say, the world can't receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees or knows him. That is because the world is captive to sin and Satan. Unless one believes and is born again of water and the Spirit, he remains in darkness. And that's what's going on in the world. So how does the Holy Spirit sanctify us or make us holy? Well, in John chapter 16, and I encourage you really to read John, not just 14, but read chapter 16, because he goes more in depth on what this the Holy Spirit does. He says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, judgment, and guide us into the truth. Here again, you have the Holy Triune God at work in us. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and drives us to our knees asking for God's mercy. As King David says in the Psalms, I confess my sin. I'm troubled, my iniquity rather. I'm troubled by my sin. So the Holy Spirit leads us to repentance and faith. That's the first biggest step to make us holy. It's not, hi, look at me. But on our knees crying to God for mercy, for the forgiveness of our sins. The Holy Spirit causes us to recognize our spiritual poverty, confess those sins that have a hold on our hearts and minds, and leads us to hunger to be pure and righteous through thought and desire. And then he leads us to the truth of the gospel, which is the sweet forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sanctification doesn't stop with confirmation, learning the doctrines of the church, or like somehow we've graduated from church. Now I can go off and do my thing so that now the soccer field or other things in my life replace worship on Sunday. No, 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 no. Sanctification, or being made holy, expands our entire lives. It's our Christian walk. It's a daily experience of death and resurrection. Death, or death to self, and resurrection of the new person in our lives. That you know that Christ is in you and comes to give you new life, that we might live pure and holy lives. You know what? But the truth is, many times we don't feel clean or holy, do we? When we fall into another round of temptation and habitual sin, we feel distinctly dirty. We carry around a lot of shame and guilt. We often turn away from God and do our own thing, knowing we shouldn't. I know I do, and it grieves me. That's my sinful nature. It's a constant fight. But the Holy Spirit's always coming back and bringing me back, and always coming and bringing you back. Because you know what? The good news is our sanctification or holiness doesn't depend on our feelings or efforts, but on God's work in our lives and His word of forgiveness. The Bible says God cleanses us by the washing of water with the word. Do you realize how powerful, when we start the service, the confession is, and the absolution? Think about that for a minute. You confess your sins, what's on your heart, and when the pastor says, you are forgiven, you are forgiven. That's not something that's roped. That's not something that we just do as an action. No! That's the work of Jesus Christ, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, for Him to make you holy. And you know, sometimes we avoid the very things needed for our sanctification. Confession, hearing God's word of forgiveness, and Christ's body and His blood at the Lord's table. The God who washes us clean gifts us His Holy Spirit and continues His good work in us, so that we might do good works to serving others. So sanctification is not, oh, I've got to strive and I've got to work. No, it's God's Spirit in you at work to do the things He wants you to do. Paul says in Philippians that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You and I, spiritually, we're under construction. God is at work in us each day. We're not left alone to fight sin and the struggles in our lives. And that's why Jesus says in our gospel, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Notice what He says in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And listen to this. My Father will love him, and we, the triune God, will come to him and make our home with him. God has made His home with you and in you. Think about that. By Jesus' death and resurrection, we now have access to the triune God. Jesus has conquered sin, death, the power of the devil in our lives, and He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's not a static event. That's every day. Can we continually receive the Holy Spirit? It's a daily experience. You know, when you pray, ask God to gift you the Holy Spirit, to open your eyes to God's Word, to the things of God. Wow, what promise is kept by our Savior? You know, in John chapter 20, when it was all over, after Jesus' resurrection, He appeared to the disciples. And again, they were in the locked room for fear of the Jews. And He said, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. The disciples were overjoyed, and their Wi-Fi was reconnected. Are you troubled this morning like the disciples, behind locked doors of fear, worry, doubt, and anxiety? Is that getting the best of you right now? Well, brothers and sisters, hear this. Jesus comes to you and me this morning and says the same thing. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. The living God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit has made his home with you and lives in you. That's bigger than any fear, doubt, worry, or anxiety. So each day, when you get up, know that his promise is kept. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual Wi-Fi is connected. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.